You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. This Sunday is Father's Day, a day that might include making pancakes for dad or taking in a ball game together. However it's done, it's a day to celebrate dads. With that in mind, we asked you to share some of the dads you see making a difference around Milwaukee, but not just as fathers, also as stewards and caretakers of the city's people, places, and land. Lake Effect's Jimmy Gutierrez brings us this story.
I guess where I want to start is that there are these ideas of what it means to be a man. And I feel like if you are a man, you've been ingrained with them forever. You're stoic, capable, strong. And I first learned what it means to be a man from my dad. Growing up, I remember him stoic and strong, always hardworking. It almost felt like he never had time for me and my little brother. And you better believe I never saw him cry. Over time, he's changed. Our relationship has changed, and he has softened. He's even cried with me, if you can believe that, although he'll probably say he had something in his eye, but regardless. Every Father's Day, I wonder if this is how it's going to be, if this is what we'll come to expect out of men and what men will expect out of men. And if so, what are we giving up? Can we be more expansive when we talk about what it means to be a man? So this year, instead of stoic and strong, we asked you to introduce us to Milwaukee men who are stewards or caretakers of our people, places, and land.
Everybody in some way in the neighborhood has been touched by Yusef.
This is Juan Miguel Martinez, and he nominated his old friend, Yusef Morales.
He calls me when he says, hey, can you check on such and such kid that is in county right now? I just want to make sure that that person is getting their meds so I can put the parents' mind at ease.
The first time I heard of Yusef, I saw a few friends repost his free haircuts for kids program on Facebook. So I called him up and we met downtown. He was business casual, sipping a lemonade. He had just wrapped up a meeting, tying up some loose ends for Milwaukee's Puerto Rican festival, which he runs. But he's always like this, meeting people, coordinating, on the move.
I try to find the gaps, bro. Like, I try to find the gaps and fill them. Like, even with the barbershop haircut thing, kids were coming into our programs. They didn't have haircuts. And I wouldn't go to school looking like that. So, and then the people are wondering, why is it that schools like Washington have a capacity of over 1,000 kids, only 200 are showing up? And it's something as simple as maybe these kids just don't want to go because they look like shit.
The thing is, I have no idea why one day I like wrote a review of like a movie that I had watched and I sent it to Yusef. And then he said, when are you going to come and write for us?
Yusef was at Conquistador at the time, Milwaukee's Latino newspaper. After his movie review was published, Juan Miguel started writing for outlets all over the city, and not just movie reviews. His piece on workplace organizing got him an invite to become a labor organizer. After becoming a labor organizer, he was elected as the 12th District County Supervisor.
So it all just kind of like snowballed from writing that one article that I sent to Yusef, who asked me to come and write for Conquistador with them.
Yusef's like this, putting people on, gassing them up, and redirecting street cred for good.
Jeffrey's a kid that was with me since his mom came around. She's a friend of mine. Came around with me. He was about 13 years old. He's about 24 right now. Anyways, he had his issues. And again, he was always in the hood. All his uncles were in the hood. But now he's working. He's going to school right now. He's got no kids yet. And he's 20-some years old. And it's not a big success story. Like, he's graduated college, all that. But what he could have been.
Yusef calls Jeffrey the light wherever he goes. Milwaukee needs more light, he tells me. But to really know Yusef is to know him as a family man and a father. And that whole be the light talk is one his 17-year-old son has heard plenty.
What does your dad tell you every day? What are his two things? Be the light in every room and where hard work pays off. And if I ask him, hey, and he'll go, Dad, all right, be the light in every room, hard work pays off. Every morning I wake up and I literally go in the mirror because I'm tired and I go, nah, man, I'm trying to be the baddest dude out here. And it's for my boys. And my boys can be like, that's my dad. Like now, the baby, it's crazy, bro, because the baby gets up, he's one. He gets up and he sees me put my hat on because I'm bald. So I put my hat on when I'm not at work. And he goes, hat, and puts the hat on and starts running around the house and he doesn't want to take it off. And I'm like, that's why.
Yusef smirks and says the baby came to work. While Yusef pours his energy into people all over the city, Stephen Hunter pours his into wellness and the land. We got together right before he took off on the mayor's annual bike ride.
I'm a part of Red Bike and Green, which is a bike association here in Milwaukee, and we do like about 40.
That's when I learned he was the Vanguard's Vanguard when it came to Milwaukee's movement scene. After martial arts training, he trained in African dance and went to massage therapy school. This was the 90s.
I was getting my yoga certification. I just saw these correlations between the movement, the breath, and rootedness. And I kind of looked around at what would become the wellness industry. I saw that, like, Black folk need a safe space for healing.
He said school was filled with a lot of liberal white students with savior complexes, and that they really didn't know or care about the Black community.
I felt like John the Baptist, you know, screaming, it's coming, it's coming. Because, like I said, wellness was a new word. It also seemed at that time, 30 years ago, almost militant to insist on, no, I'm going to focus on African-American wellness.
Maybe you're asking yourself, what do these yoga classes look like?
You know, playing Sade and Stevie Wonder and not playing Enya, you know, right?
My name is Teresa Melby, and I am the Director of Educational Programs for Life Center Milwaukee. So Stephen came in to sub for my dance teacher. She was doing African dance. And he came in and I was just amazed by his ability to relate to kids.
Teresa says her team scrambled to find a way to keep Stephen on. Turns out there was a martial arts class opening up and they needed an instructor.
I remember one time when he first started, the boys take off their shoes to have the class. And he stops everybody and sits them down. And he tells them, I want you guys to look back there. Look at your shoes. And of course, all his shoes are all over the place. The boys just took them off and threw them, right?
He's like, your caretakers work hard to buy you those. And that's how you treat them? Not in a condescending way, but like, hey, see what I see. What does it say to them? What does it say about yourself?
So I really think with the conversations that Stephen has with the kids, he really starts developing their self-esteem. It is never a negative, or you did this wrong, or you did that. It's always, okay, let's try this again. Let's do this way, you know? And unfortunately, some of the children, all they hear always is the negative.
Stephen will be the first to tell you that he's doing good work, but nothing quite heals like nature. He's been taking people into natural spaces in the city for years. He's even a bit of a griot, an advocate when it comes to green and blue spaces in his backyard.
Coming to learn that Lincoln Creek is a natural waterway. Like when I was a kid, it was in concrete. The pretty word is channelized. But MMSD, you know, 20 years ago, renaturalized it. It used to be called Old Mud Creek, right? It's a natural waterway, but we all thought it was just sewer water and sewer runoff. So when you have this waterway coming through your neighborhood, but you think that it's just sewer water, it's easy to mistreat it. It's easy to abuse it and to dump and this and that. But like when you learn that this is a natural waterway and is part of the 100-year flood and that salmon actually go up Lincoln Creek, you're like, what? Not that everybody's got to be a farmer. Everybody needs to be a birder. Everybody needs to be a tree hugger. But it just totally makes sense to honor and take care of like what is here that takes care of you. We are a community, whether we like it or not, or accept it or not.
Stephen is building the next generation. And he's helping to build that next generation to respect, which is so important, especially nowadays, you know. And he's teaching them not just respect in general, but respecting themselves, respecting others, and respecting our community. And granted, right now, he's planting the seeds. You know, he's planting the seeds. But I know that some of these children, like you said, are going to remember these experiences. They're going to remember Mr. Hunter, as we call him, as being this person that they could talk to, that they could reach out to.
Some men care for people, some for the land. Others are taking care of places by challenging long-standing institutions to do more and be more.
Were there like a bunch of white Jesuses in this place before you got here?
So many. They're gone now. And in fact, I'll show you.
Dr. Cameron Overton is co-pastor at Zao Church. Since they opened up in 2019, they've supported radical movements and people. In the basement, Cameron shows me a storage room lined with supplies and goods.
There's a protest that happens and you need medic supplies, you can come here and grab medic supplies. If you are doing a protest and you need water, Gatorade, snacks, we got you.
We then head to the gym that housed Water Mountain during the 2020 protest, which must have been thousands upon thousands of stacked water bottles. This all lines up with Cameron's vision of Jesus as a revolutionary who took in the most marginalized.
I think that most churches are really active for their own members, right? So most churches are very insular and look inside of themselves rather than actually being a part of the community.
Cameron is also a Black trans pastor who grounds community at the center of everything he does. You know that question, if you were stuck on a deserted island, what three things would you bring? I'm pretty sure his answers would all be people. And there's a reason for that.
I knew what it was like for me to be kind of tossed out of my family. So my family is really unaccepting of who I am. And almost every one of my actual blood relation, kind of familiar relations are pretty severed because of that. And I have done the work to like be okay with that and like grow and say like it's actually healthy and good boundaries for me to not be with them and to let them harm me. And that is incredibly painful.
I had grown up religious, but everyone who was ever religious had kind of just like tossed me out when I came out. So meeting Cameron was kind of like, he was the first person that I was like, oh, so you're like a queer person leading a church. And I was like, that's kind of unbelievable to me at the time, I guess, in a way. I was like, there's no way this is possible.
This is Jordy Carmichael. Cameron calls him his brother. The two bonded in Milwaukee when Jordy was looking for housing, and Cameron had a house that he opened up for people in need of a safe space.
And he was just like so casually like, just come live here. Like it wasn't a big deal. And then rent was like so cheap. I mean, it was just like a room in his house. But to me, it was like this unbelievable godsend to have just like a place where I could live.
It's funny because I no longer live at that house, but it's still occupied by Zao people at this point because, you know, we're all trying to find a sense of home.
Cameron's creating that feeling of home as best he can here in Milwaukee and at his church. In the process, he's not only redefining what it means to be a pastor, a father to his 3-year-old daughter, but also a man.
When I walk the street at this point, you know, people are like, hey, dude, what's up, right? But at one point, that was absolutely not my experience. So I know what it is like to have misogyny and patriarchy dominate. And so I think one of the things that as a trans person, I get to ask those questions, like, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a good man? What does it mean to like challenge other men when you aren't being a good man? Right. And I think that we can do better than that. And like, I think men need to have that conversation together to do better than that.
In their own ways, all the men here are asking those bigger questions, having that conversation with the people around them, challenging themselves to be better. For Youssef, that process started 5 years ago when he met a very surprising person from his past.
A great grandpa died and my mom's like, I got to tell you something. And she gives me a picture and it's this man. And he looks just like me, but he's really dark, but he's got my nose and he's got like this figure, like a wrestler, like I do because I'm a wrestler. And then she was like, yeah, and walked away.
It was a picture of his biological father. Just like that, a 32-year-old family secret was passed down. And to be clear, Youssef has a dad at this point, a man who raised him as his own, a man that Youssef loves dearly. But a few months later, he gets a call from the man in the picture. He tells Youssef he's his dad.
And he sounds just like me. And I go, what? And I said, no, my dad's at work right now. Being sarcastic, because I kind of know who he is. And then he was like, no, listen, I'm your dad. I'm going to come out there and meet you. And I said, nah, I'm good right now, man. I don't need all that in my life.
As time passed, the more curious Youssef became. It was like an itch he couldn't scratch. I mean, this guy runs the Puerto Rican Fest outside of Boston. How could he not be? So he flew out. In person, there was immediate friction. They're both high energy, opinionated. And one night, things went from bad to worse.
It was about my brother. It was a gay brother I was introduced to. Love him to death. Amazing, but I stepped forward because he was kind of telling them about him being gay and coming out. He was like against all this. at the table. Yeah, yeah, no, this is real stuff, bro. I don't care about it. This is real stuff. People should talk about this. And I kind of stood up for it. And he was like, well, you got to go. He told him he has to go. So I said, if he's leaving, I'm leaving. So then I said, let's go. He had his car. We packed our stuff and we left. That's when I changed, bro, because that's when I became a better man. Because I was like, I don't want to become like that. No disrespect to him at all, but I don't want to become like that. I don't want to talk like that. I don't want to walk like that. I don't want to act like that when I'm mad. I don't want to talk to my wife like that. I don't want to be like that.
While Yusef doesn't keep up with that relationship anymore, he says meeting that side of the family has helped. He remembers at their family reunion, things clicked, like he finally met his people.
And it was the weirdest thing in the world. They're all dark-skinned too, by the way. I was the lightest one because my mom's light. But it was like being in a room with a bunch of Yusefs. Everybody's like shadow boxing each other. 90-year-old dudes just doing taekwondo in the corner because they were like taekwondo champions. It was weird, man.
And this is where I was going to end it. We can change. The idea of what a man is can change, needs to change. And even now, there are plenty of good men in our city. But that got me thinking about the men in my life who have shaped me, changed me. Dear friends, coaches, colleagues, and of course, my family. My grandfathers, uncles, my big little brother, somehow, you've helped. And my dad. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm just at the station.
Oh, okay.
You know, I just wanted to give you a call because I'm working on this piece about fathers and Father's Day. And I don't know, it just got me thinking about like how much I've watched you change over the years and how open you've been to that. And I just want to say thank you because I think it's really helped change me be a better man.
Thank you. That really is flattering. I appreciate you saying that. And I'm proud of the man that you've become.
Thank you, Dad. I feel like we don't say that enough. You know, I feel like there was a time when I was telling you that quite a bit, how much I appreciated you. And I haven't had the chance to do that quite as much as I would like to. Well, okay. So I also have something else to ask you real quick.
Huh.
How do you feel about me using some of this in that story?
Yeah. I'd be flattered.
All right. So I'm going to have you on the radio. Okay. So don't say I never did nothing for you.
That was Lake Effect's Jimmy Gutierrez. He spoke with Yusef Morales, Stephen Hunter, Dr. Cameron Overton, and his dad, Michael Gutierrez.